Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with me. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing today?
Well, election 2019 came and went.
Yep.
Did you vote?
Wasn't in one of the states that would...
That mattered. Well, Kentucky mattered. And Kentucky, they lost their governor, Bevin, one of the best governors in America, I would say, over the last 4 years. Bevin was a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, he got sideways with a lot of people for a variety of reasons. He decided to have a new lieutenant governor candidate run with him, and he didn't go with the one he originally ran with. But he's very pro-life, very outspoken pro-life. He wanted to reform the budget system there, and... He was making some inroads. In many ways, he was much like Trump is at the national level. He was an outlier.
Yeah.
And as a result, he's kicking against the goads of the establishment.
Yeah. Well, America is certainly a nation right in the balance right now. Of course, the nation is always in the balance. The lot is cast into the lap and the vote is cast as well. But the whole disposal thereof is of the Lord. So let's keep that in mind. Two things happening as I see it, Bill, right now. First, America is in decline. Republicans are evenly split now on homosexual marriage, right about 48-48. That's up from 21% of Republicans in favor of same-sex marriage in 2009. So in 2009, same-sex marriage, 21% of Republicans are going thumbs up. Now it's 47-48%. It's about equal. So America is in decline. There's no national progress going on with abortion, homosexuality, or the debt crisis in the last 3 years as a nation. But as states, something else is happening. And I think this is key. We're really right there at that point at which we have to say that America is a house divided. America is a nation divided against itself, right on that razor edge. The chasm between those who want to kill babies, slice them up and sell their body parts, and those that don't want to do that, is growing. And let's face it, the Democrats in New York or Virginia, more epistemologically self-conscious of their support for partial birth abortion, they want to cut babies up, they want to sell their body parts. And I don't think they're shy about that, are they?
No. I mean, they don't even argue whether it's a person or not anymore. Yeah. They just argue that the mother's rights trump the child's rights.
This is what they want to do. And I think what's happening across this country, Bill, is that there is a division going on this issue. And let's not minimize the importance of the issue of abortion. It's equal to or more important than the slave issue back in the 1800s. Why? Because human lives are at stake here, friends. Human lives are at stake. We're talking about millions of human lives at stake each and every year. Some states have grown more pro-life. Some states have become more pro-death. New York, Vermont, Nevada, California, Oregon, Washington, more pro-death than they were in the year 2000. That would be roughly left coast and east coast.
Right.
More pro-life states include Arizona, Arkansas, Indiana, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Alabama, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Texas, Tennessee, and Nebraska, southern states and farm states of Indiana, Nebraska, and South Dakota included in that list. What's the difference between the list of those states that are increasingly epistemologically self-conscious concerning killing babies and those that are not, in your book?
Well, it looks like population is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it centers around metropolitan areas.
Yeah, blue cities.
So, blue cities.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this is one reason why we're retaining the Senate.
And that it makes sense because each state has the same number of senators as every other state.
Yeah.
So
South Dakota gets just as many senators as New York, and that's going to help the Senate remain Republican or somewhat pro-life. All Republicans are not pro-life. They certainly aren't in favor of traditional marriage. But at the end of the day, it looks to me like we're going to see a split right down the center of this nation. And friends, the swing states are Wisconsin, Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, and Georgia, the heart of America divided right down the center. The Wisconsin election, the good guy Supreme Court member won the statewide election in April by about 5,000 votes. And then the Kentucky election, the good guy governor lost his statewide election.
By about 5,000 votes.
Yeah. So what can we say about swing states? They're swing states.
There they are.
Big time swing states. So what does this say about the 2020 elections? Who knows?
Yeah.
A lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord, for sure. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast, interacting on the 2019 November elections this year. And Bill, it does appear this nation is a nation divided against itself. I don't think we've seen this level of division of the nation since the Civil War of the 1860s. That would be, what, 150 years ago. The polarization gap on presidential approval is very interesting. I just checked out the Gallup poll on this. The polarization gap on presidential approval, that is the polarization between the Democrats' perspective of the president and the Republicans' perspective of the president, was 27% with Dwight Eisenhower in the 1950s, 52% under Reagan, 76% under Obama and George W. Bush, and get this, 86% under Donald Trump. And what's really interesting is that this polarization gap, the trend chart, is constantly in a single direction. That is, the increased polarization in America from 1956 to the present day, over a period of, what, 65 years, is a constant. America is increasingly polarized, and I'm not sure you can get more polarized than what we have right now. An 86% difference between Republicans and Democrats' perspective of President George or President Donald Trump.
And I think that goes back to the secularization of our culture, because what we've seen is a reduction in the influence of Christianity and the Christian faith in dictating what a person, how a person thinks about issues. And as a result, the secularization of our culture leads to a polarization, because there is no, there's not a commonly held ethic. There's not a common base of morality. And so you begin to see the swings, and it pushes people out. It's a centrifugal force that pushes people out to the edges. They do not have a common core anymore.
Well, it seems to me that a history of a nation often provides something of a common cultural denominator, and we don't have that. At one time, freedom, liberty, the principles contained in the Constitution of the United States, free speech, the access to religious liberty, et cetera, constituted something of a cross-cultural denominator, a common cultural denominator, and that does not exist as it once did. And the other thing is those that impose a multicultural system, or the idea that all ideas are equal, usually result in a fracturing of a nation. That is, you in the diversity of the nation, you lose the unity of the nation. And that appears to be the direction that we're headed. Now, of course, this could be the purposes of God to direct us towards the Babel principle once more, in which, you know, America tried to turn itself into some massive empire. And inevitably, we build our towers so high, they fall down. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us build a tower in a city. And God shows up and says, not today. And that may be what's going on here. It could be God is decentralizing. Certainly, we've seen nothing but centralization of power in Washington, D.C. since 1865. And at this point, it may be that, you know, we just built this tower just a little too high, and God is going to bring it down. And he will do so by multiculturalism. He will do so by a massive polarization gap between the political parties, et cetera, et cetera. He'll find a way to tear this thing apart. You know, it's also interesting that some of the states have remained fairly conservative. You think of states like Tennessee, Texas, and so forth, the southern states, some of the farm states up the center. And so America is really two nations within itself. Washington, D.C. and Virginia are the most liberal areas of the country. But why? Because the federal government is liberal, more so than the states. And the bureaucracy is liberal. And so remember, folks, that it's the bureaucracy that runs the nations, not so much the president, especially once you unleash a third of the GDP to a bureaucracy that doesn't lose its job every 4 years but retains its position and continues to aggrandize itself. And for the most part, the bureaucracy is going to be left of center. You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And that's, again, the secularization of the culture leads to a bureaucratic administrative state rather than a state that is based on revealed truth, revealed law, and a representative government.
Yeah, and I think, you know, inevitably the socialism, the communism that is taking over in Europe and China and now appears to be taking over in South Korea is based in the assumption that the state is the demonstration of God on earth, or the state is the representation of the people as God. So people increasingly see the state as God. They want to aggrandize the state as God on earth, and the result is always going to be counterproductive to liberty and to freedom. And this centralization of power in Washington has continued almost nonstop since, I'm going to say, probably Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge was probably the last president that decreased the size of government in America, and that would have been prior to the Great Depression. It would have been right around, I guess, 1920, 1922. So, friends, it's been about 100 years now we've seen a steady growth of government spending as a percentage of the GDP. And if you look at what God recommends for the state spending, you find in 1 Samuel chapter 8 that he would limit state spending to about 10% of the people's income. So you see that if you increase over 10% of the people's income, 1 Samuel 8 states it very clearly that this king has become something of a tyrant. So we would say that any state that increases itself to over 10% of the GDP, which, by the way, I think we crossed that somewhere around 1920, so somewhere shortly after Calvin Coolidge, I think we passed 10%, and we are pushing 50 to 60% of the GDP consumed in state, local, and national spending. So, all right, so the God state is something that has pretty much taken over this country. But before we're done with this edition of the Generations Broadcast, Bill, I'd like to touch on the Equal Rights Amendment. Turns out it's back on the table, sort of. Nevada and Illinois approved the ERA just most recently, and Virginia, which, by the way, just turned over to an entirely deep blue state.
Right.
That is, all of the arms of government are controlled by the Democratic majorities. And so apparently Virginia would be the 38th state to approve of the Equal Rights Amendment, which got its start, in 1972, I believe it was. And friends, there is some question over whether the amendment died in 1982. Congress would probably have to put it back on the table. It's doubtful that would happen. But the Equal Rights Amendment would constitutionalize some sort of wage controls for women in the workplace. It would constitutionalize women in combat, so forth and so on. Some say that the ERA would reinforce the constitutional right to an abortion, and it would require judges to strike down anti-abortion laws. So an Equal Rights Amendment would constitutionalize these things that we have been pushing hard against for the last 40 to 50 years. Effectively, abortion is not written into the Constitution. It's just a result of a Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah, it's that shadow that they saw in there.
Yeah.
They caught a glimpse of it. They read into the Constitution.
But an Equal Rights Amendment would institutionalize and constitutionalize women in combat and so forth and so on. So it would be a dangerous thing. But what do Christians do? Let's end with this, Bill. I think what Christians continue to do is whatever happens with the United States federal government, it's our responsibility to continue to disciple the nations. I want to be careful on this program not to overemphasize the role of the state. Now, the state plays a part, and we need to fight for our rights, and we need to fight for righteousness in the public forum. But let's continue to disciple the nations. Let's not just wring our hands about politics. Disciple the nations in the laws of God. Teach your nation to obey everything Jesus has commanded. And eventually, what you find is as you disciple the nations, inevitably that's going to have an effect on the businesses. That's going to have effect on economies. That has effect on culture and politics. And so be it. But the verse that I keep coming back to again and again, Bill, is this one: casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience out there when your obedience is fulfilled. So I love that verse, because what it says is, it says, let's clean up our room first. Let's clean up our backyard first, and then we can pay attention to the rest. It's really hard to put a stop to homosexuality when 80% of American evangelical men are doing porn and churches are tolerating divorce without enforcing church discipline and so forth and so on. So what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 10 is, he says, hey, make sure you're maturing your own obedience, taking care of your own situation first, and then you have opportunities to enforce or revenge disobedience out there and cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So I think what we're seeing is, first things first, a church in decline will produce a nation in decline. So let's disciple the nations. Let's clean up our backyard first, and then we'll increasingly see an improvement of nations and the laws that are legislated by those respective nations.
Right. And that's what we have to do. We have to train our children. We have to train those who sit in the pews. And then they go out and they act as little lighted salt shakers in the culture.
Amen. That's what we want, my friends. And thank God for our freedoms. Thank God that we have what we have. Take advantage of it. Certainly we have the freedom to assemble, the freedom to speak, the freedom to preach, the freedom to evangelize. Take advantage of these things. Americans still have the freedom to evangelize on the streets. You don't get arrested much. Maybe on occasion there might be a little pushback, but generally speaking, you don't get into trouble for witnessing the gospel in the public forums. We have freedom to have 8 babies if we want to and disciple them in the Word of God. We don't have to kill our kids. They do in China. China, they're forced to. There are some instances in which they literally grab the woman and kill the kid.
Yeah.
Now, praise be to God, that doesn't happen here. You know, let's take advantage of our freedoms. Let's thank the Lord for our freedoms. We can have 8 babies and we don't have to kill them. We can preach the gospel and call sinners to repentance on street corners and witness Christ using social media without getting arrested. Now, okay, we can be shamed from time to time on Facebook. I get that.
I'm telling you, Kevin, we may not be arrested, but the thought by the opposition is that we can or should be arrested.
Oh, I get that.
Okay. Just recently when we did our fall camp for Worldview Academy down in Texas. We always take our students to the University of Texas and have them share their faith. We've had a long-standing fight with the University of Texas, because anytime our students show up on campus and they begin conversations, and faculty and administrators would come out and say, you can't be on the campus. Now, this is a public tax-funded school. But just recently, there was a court case that cleared that.
Good.
But good. This year,
okay,
when we took our students out this past month,
more flack.
They were on the campus. We knew that case had been solved, and so there wasn't going to be any hassle. And a lady said, "You can't do that here. I'm going to call the police. I'm going to call the police because you're talking to somebody."
Yeah.
About what? About old Texas and their football program?
Nope.
Nope. About the academics at the university? Nope.
Nope. About the very most important and most basic facts of life.
Politics.
Not even that.
Nope.
No.
About the person of Jesus Christ.
That's
Jesus
right.
is an immoral, illegal word.
Yeah.
Unless spoken reverently.
Unless you're taking it in vain.
Yeah, spoken reverently on the campus.
Well, our recommendation again and again on this program is apply full court press. Apply the full court press again and again. Apply your freedoms, your liberties. Take advantage. Friends, these liberties may not be with us forever, but we have opportunities now to, well, number one, to have children and disciple them in our homes as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. Disciple our children in the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And friends, we have the opportunities to evangelize. We have the opportunities to disciple the nations. Let's take advantage of these things. Let's enjoy these freedoms. And as much as you've got an opportunity to exempt yourself from paying abortifacients and contraceptives that have abortifacient qualities through the Obamacare program, if you have the ability to use something of a Christian medical sharing ministry like Samaritan Ministries, take full advantage of these freedoms. Apply the full court press. Teach your children God's word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. And I encourage you to our resources, certainly Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, a helpful resource to understand the worldviews that affect our world. And also The Story of Freedom, our new release of the battle for freedom through the centuries, over 800 years. We didn't get to this point at which we have these remarkable freedoms. And the Bill of Rights has sustained so many attacks over 225 years. We didn't get that out of nothing. We got it out of a gigantic fight for liberty that has gone on for about 800 years, really 2,000 years. And you can read the story of freedom in our book, The Story of Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.